If you have your Bibles, let's go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. It's kind of a common passage we've been in. I'm going to stick around here for just a little bit of time yet. And we've been preaching a series on the Great Commission. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew 28. I'm going to pick up at verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18. We've read this out of the other Gospels as well about going. It says, Matthew 28, 18, it says, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Father, I thank you for the Word of God, and I thank you for the Spirit of truth. And Lord, I pray, Lord, even this morning, I pray, Lord, give us a heart to receive the fullness of your Word, Father. And I pray, God, even now, Lord, that, you know, Lord, just give us the vision, Father, as we close out this year and as we go into a new year. Lord, give us eyes to see everything that you prepared for us. Father, everything that you're showing us, give us eyes to see. And Father, I pray, Lord, give us ears. Give us ears to hear, Father. Give us ears to hear. You know, Lord, your word says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So Father, I pray, let us receive in hearing the word to its fullness in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You can be seated this morning. Everybody seems calm today. Great job with worship this morning. It's good. Good stuff. You know, one of the things we attempted to get into last Sunday night, and we're going to kind of probably a couple, two or three different messages around what it means to be a disciple and what it means to make a disciple. Because what we see in Matthew 28 is Jesus' words. You know, as Jesus is leaving, one of the things he's saying to the church, he says, look, I want you to go. All authority in heaven and earth have been given to me, but I've commissioned you. I've commissioned you, children of God. Any children of God in the house this morning? Amen. Everybody should raise their hands. You're children of God. Amen. If you're saved, you're born again. If you're not saved and born again, today you can be. Amen. We'll give you that opportunity before this service closes to make sure your heart's right with the Lord. We do that every service. Amen. But Jesus is saying something. He said, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. So just to kind of come back and paraphrase why we're talking about discipleship, why Pastor Brad, every time he takes the pulpit over the last 3 or 4 weeks, he said, are you praying for your five? You remember the instruction Pastor Brad gave you? It was an instruction to the church to write down five names, to pray for those five people. Everybody look at me. Everybody doing it? So you can't lie to the pastor, right? Everybody's doing it, right? You're praying for your five. So, and then, you know, then from there, what you're going to do is you're going to talk to your five. You're gonna pray for your five, and then you're gonna talk to your five and say, hey, you know, would you want to go to a life group? Or maybe you have that opportunity to be able to win them to Christ, you know, saying the prayer of salvation with them. But what we're doing is we're gonna create a culture in this house, amen, where we're disciple makers, amen, that God is going to raise up out of this house people that are willing to go to carry the word, into our communities. Father, we do it in church, right? You should expect to hear the gospel in church. Amen. Anyway, you should expect to hear the gospel in the church. You know, I really kind of went back to this sermon because on Friday night I just felt like, as I had been praying, you know, around this, the Lord just quickened me, and I'm going to spend most of my time today in Luke chapter 4. So, if you want to go there, you can flip over to that chapter. You know, I would say this to the church, and as we were in Revelation class throughout the last 10 or 11 weeks, you know, there was a word given to one of the churches in Revelation chapter 2. And for those taking Revelation class, you'll know what church this is. It says, remember therefore that for where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. This week, anybody know what church he's talking to? Brother Don, you can't say. Huh? Yes, it was. Great job. So he's talking to the church of Ephesus. You know, this week the Lord quickened me. And I want to preach a word today, and I want you to receive this word in your spirit and, you know, also in your mind. But the Lord quickened me this week. Don't forgo what you first started doing in the Lord when you got saved. Because as I felt that kind of touch me this week, it was like, you know, God will do that. And at different times in my life, He's brought that back to me where it's when I got saved, how was I? When I got touched by the fire of God, how was I? Was there something different in me that made me want to go out and share this good news? Amen. Anybody understand what I'm talking about this morning? Because I believe that there's a passion and a zeal that you can have for the things of the Lord. Amen. And you know what the world's wanting to do? The world is wanting to squelch out any kind of fire you have at all. Any kind of fire that you possess. You know, we talked about the cares of the world. We talked about that last Sunday night. You know, so many things will come into a person's mind, you know, about, well, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. And then we forgo what God has purposed us actually to do. You know, as I was reading last night, I wondered how many jobs does a person have in a lifetime? And I thought, well, that's interesting because I know people that they've had many, many jobs. But the average person in America today, women and men, have an average of a lifetime 12 jobs. 12 jobs. You know, I counted up my jobs, and I think I was actually at 6. So I beat that average by half, that I've had 6 jobs throughout my lifetime. And for the last 12 years, this is where my wife and I have spent our work ministering and pastoring and also working as missionaries. But 12 jobs over a lifetime, which brings me to the scripture in Luke chapter 4. Because I'm going to give you 3 things today. And I felt like the Lord began to show me this, that to become a disciple maker, to learn how to be discipled, there's certain things that we will actually have to focus on. There's certain things in our life that we actually will have to do. Because listen, I believe this. I believe that there's being so many things thrown into this world right now. You know, I heard a pastor say the other day, he said, you know, think about this. He said, we're on the brink of World War III. We don't act like it as the church. We're on the brink of seeing some of the greatest Bible prophecy unfold before our own eyes, but we don't act like we're that excited about it. There's just somewhat even a numbness that, you know, that can come upon the church where, well, so let it be, whatever's that terminology? Whatever will be. I don't know the correct terminology for it. It is what it is. Pray. That's the Hawaiian saying. Hallelujah. Brother Jesse, thank you. I'll pull some Hawaiian, get some pigeon alongside that. But it will be what it will be. But that's not the case. And I'm going to tell you something, that there has to be something that begins to rise up in the body of Christ that says, you know, no, not on my watch. This is our watch. Amen. This isn't a time to lay down. This isn't a time to, you know, to go on vacation. Go on vacation, but come back refueled, fired up, and ready to go. Amen. Yeah, you should take a vacation. You've got to know your assignment, number one. You've got to know your assignment on earth. I tell you, I meet adults that are in their 50s and 60s, and they're saying, well, you know, I feel called by God. I felt called by God when I was 15 years old. And at 60 years old, they're still saying, well, I feel called by God. Now, I'm going to show you something, that over a period of 40 or 50 years, what's happened with that person where they have missed the calling? Well, there's many factors. Number one, I'm going to tell you, there's a real enemy to your faith. But, you know, becoming a disciple and being a disciple maker, we have to learn to have the heart of the Father. And I know and I believe that's why we're talking about the Great Commission. We have to see things the way Jesus sees them. Not the way we see them. Not the way the world says we. You know, listen, if we follow the patterns of this world and how we should do church, we would have church for 15 or 20 minutes. We wouldn't have what we had happen Sunday night where for 2.5 hours we were just in here worshiping God. We closed service out and we continued to praise God. There would be a pattern. What we're going to, you know, there's patterns are important. But when God's Spirit's ready to move on a people, you know, we as a people have to say, yes, Lord, we want that. We desire that. Amen. I believe that's what Kings, West Virginia is getting ready to experience. I believe the people here are beginning to hunger and thirst for the things of God, not the things of this world. Amen. So take your Bibles. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. You've got to know your assignment. So if you're taking notes today, you have to know your assignment. Pastor, I don't know what my assignment is. I'm gonna challenge you to pray. Seek the Lord. Get around people that can actually help you and direct you. A lot of times people are just, well, I'm waiting on the Lord to give me a word. When God sent five people in your life to help you, but you ignore that side of it. God sends people. My lands, He sent people into Moran and I's life. You know, see the favor of God. You know why we don't receive the favor of God on our lives is because we refuse to walk through the doors that's been opened for us because we don't know how to recognize them. We don't know how to recognize the doors in which the Lord's opened as a door. I tell you, sometimes you got to learn just to walk through a door. If it doesn't feel right, you'll walk right back out. But real favor will begin when you begin to understand that you yourself can actually walk through a door. Walk through a door. You know, there's got to be, in this hour and in this time, you know, a people that are saying, you know what, Lord, I desire you. Even today as we say, I desire to worship you, Lord. I desire to be in your presence. And Lord, I'm going to walk where you tell me to walk. Amen. But, you know, God, you know, what I love about it, God sends people. I can look back over Moran and I's life. I mean, He brought a great pastor into my life that I developed a relationship with that I could ask questions to. And even at a point where if he knew something was going, you know, I give him permission to speak into my life. Even at a point where if he knew something was going on with me, you know what he would do? He would come by the house, honk the horn, and say, come on, get in the car, we're going for a ride. Let's go for a ride. I knew every time I got in a car with him to go for a ride, it was an opportunity for me to receive. It was an opportunity for me to be ministered to. And it was an opportunity for me to listen. Amen. To listen to what the pastor was actually trying to help me with, what he was doing. I know I'm getting out here a little bit, but if we're going to know our assignment, we're going to have to be able to recognize the things that God puts in front of us. Because listen, I believe that as we talked about, you know, the parable of the sower last week, you know, those are four kinds of attacks that come on believers. I believe that. Not necessarily four kinds. It can be people. I've seen it preached many ways. But we understand there's a real enemy to your faith. And you're going to have to take a stand. God's people will have to take and move into a place where they stand, that they learn to stand and stand firm on that rock. Amen. Luke chapter 4. I'm still trying to get there. Know your assignment. Let's pick up at verse 14. It says, different times of your... Let's pick up at verse 14. It says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. The news of him went throughout all the surrounding regions. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So who was he being glorified by? All. You guys catch that? Everybody was glorifying him. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as the custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up and read, and he handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. I love this. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recover the sight to the blind, to set the liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Were they happy? Were they happy about Jesus reading this? But see, you want to talk about the Great Commission? It's all right there. This is what he's commissioning us to do. He's commissioning us as the church, to set the captives free. Amen. To heal the brokenhearted. Amen. We're given a commission. You should underline all that in your Bible. You think, what's my assignment on earth as a Christian? Right here. Oh my. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's anointed me for that work. Amen. He's anointed me for that work, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recover the sight of the blind, to set to liberty those who are oppressed. Well, Pastor, I'm not Jesus, nor am I a pastor. You know, Pastor, I have a job where I work at, where you can't really even talk about Jesus, or you can't really talk about Christianity. Guys, I'm going to tell you that we'll all stand before the Lord one day and give an account for everything that we've been asked to do and everything that we've been called to do. And I want you to get this into your spirit today, that, you know, God can use you. Has anybody ever prayed for anybody at work? Yeah, amen. Amen. So, you know, some of you have moved past that, where I don't have a fear. Your boss, honestly, some of you guys, because you stepped out in faith early on in the workplace, your boss said, well, I don't have a problem with you praying for people in this workplace. I know Brother Don, your boss doesn't have a problem with you praying with your coworkers. And because you stepped out in faith and you recognize God's going to use me like this, amen? All the eyes were fixed upon him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And what in your hearing? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? Is this not Joseph's son? See, I want you to understand that Jesus, as a carpenter's son, likely was a carpenter. How many jobs did Jesus have? I believe it was probably one trade. I don't believe he had 12 jobs. I don't know. We don't know I believe he was being mentored. Amen. He was learning. He was being discipled for a period of years. Amen. He was being discipled as a carpenter. But Jesus moves into an area where he's given his assignment on earth. How long did Jesus' ministry run on earth? 3 years. 3 years. So his life is led up to this point where he's going to go and do what he's called to do. You know, he knew the beginning and he knew the end. He knew that his life would be given as a ransom. Amen. But it's so important, please hear this today, it's so important that you understand that God will give you assignments in your life. You may say, well, you know, I can look back over my life. Some of you maybe that are in your 50s, 60s even, you know, you could sit here and say, you know, I can see where God placed me here. I can see where God put me here. I can see where God placed me here. And I could go back and look. You know, when Miranda and I, you know, we served in a church for 12 years before ministry was, I was talking to her the other night about it. And it was like, you know, I never, you know, at one point she reminds me that I had said that maybe one day I could be a pastor. I honestly don't remember that. But we never thought that we would see ourselves in a role as the head. I mean, we just, you know, if the pastor needed something and asked, what we did was we jumped in and did it. We made things happen. We run kids, we run youth, we run young adults, I don't know what all we did. I was sitting on the board, you know, all these things. If there was something that needed to be done, we needed somebody to go watch 30 kids, my wife would go do it. I mean, it was just how it was. And you know, I remember when Shirley Garrett, you know, she had something happen, and she was going to be out for a while because of health issues. And she said, "Can you guys come and do the youth?" And we're like, "Yeah, we'll do the youth." And which took me actually going to the schools, going and helping run a prayer meeting led by students, which I learned a lot about that. Before school ever started, we were doing that twice a week. They would have a Bible study, and they would have prayer, and they would pray for souls, and they would pray for people before they ever actually went to school that morning. And it was just watching God just move among teenagers. You know, God can move among teenagers. You know, amen, that God can move in a generation of people. All it takes is willingness. Was God in those meetings at 6:30? Yeah, he was in those meetings. He was in those meetings. God wants to be there with us. Amen. He wants to establish himself in people's lives. But I believe this. It's important. If you're coming in here today and you're like, well, I don't know exactly what I'm called to do. I don't know exactly what's my purpose. And I'm going to tell you, do something. Don't, you know, people look at me and say, well, Pastor, you know, I need. I need a job. And, you know, and I'll ask that question. How are you looking for a job? Can I be practical today? You know, is it all right? Are you looking for a job? Well, you know, not really. Well, then you don't really want a job. Well, I had a job. What happened? Well, I got fired. Why did you get fired? Well, I showed up late. Well, that's grounds for being fired. Would everybody agree? I mean, that, you know, there are reasons why things happen. But listen, in life, it's so important that you can begin to see where God has you this very minute, right now. You know, because I believe that God's given the commission, this great commission, to the saints. Amen? Not just pastors, not just teachers. We should and we better preach the counsel and the full gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We should do that, absolutely, 100%. But our responsibility is to get the word into you so that you can take... Why am I asking people to pray for five people and invite them to church? Is it so that the church can be small? No. God's kingdom, God wants his kingdom as immeasurably huge. You guys with me? I'm not losing anybody today, right? Pastor, you know, it's comfortable right now. It's good. Yeah, it's great. Man, I love this church. I love the people. Amen. I love knowing everybody's name. I love that. But I'm going to love it even better on a day when there's 500 people and I'm having to learn everybody's name. Amen. That I'm going to have to take the time to know the sheep. How important is that? It's very important. And so I love that this is a personal church. But why don't we need to have the vision. It's not why, but we need to have the vision that we take this out into the world and we bring the world back into the church. Amen? So you got to know your assignment. Point number two. Jesus faced this. Is this not Joseph's son? These were the words that were spoken. Is this not Joseph's son? Rejection. Point number two. Rejection. It's not an easy word, is it? It's like nobody wants to be rejected. Nobody wants to be looked at wrong. But can I tell you that in your assignments, you know, I want you to see something today, because you're not being rejected by God. See, please understand that the benefit in understanding your position in Christ is that you're not being rejected by God, and you're not being rejected by Him. Is it more important that our eyes be fixed upon Jesus or upon people? Jesus, right? Everybody, one more time. Is it more important that our eyes be fixed on Jesus or people? Jesus, amen. So we've got that. So our eyes need to be fixed upon Him. You know, everybody in here could share a story or a testimony that when they got saved, or when the fire of God, you know, hit them, or something like that happened. Did anybody have this happen? Well, you know, yeah, I got touched like that once too. And I got all excited for Jesus, and I did all that. I used to be like you. I used to go out and soul win. I used to go out and do that, but, you know, things of the world will come in and things will happen. No! No. I'm still on the streets leading people to Christ. Some 20 years later. I still, when I go to us, you should get better. You should progress as time comes along. Amen? You should gain some wisdom along the way. Amen? So your fire doesn't have to go out. And some of you may say, well, I need fire. We'll pray for fire, because you can receive that into you that gives you a boldness. Amen. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You need the Holy Ghost. That's a requirement to carry fire. It's a requirement to walk into the things of God. Amen. Because, you know, because that's what you need. There's nothing greater than that. Rejection. You know, prior to going into the mission field, I asked the Lord several things. And I remember, and He quickened me this week, and I said, Lord, you know, take me back. Take me back to my first love. Show me. Show me what, show me, because it was the heart of the Father. You know, I'll say this along the way, because there was the grace of God every step of the way, because He was helping me. The Holy Spirit, can I tell you something? Can I be honest? He was convicting me. Get this out of your life. Do this. Do that. Do this. But, you know, stay in my fire. Stay in my fire. Stay in my fire. You know, keep moving. Keep going. Don't let that thing get quenched out. Don't, you know, because listen, there were the religious people. Yeah, you're going to lose your fire. You won't stay excited for the things of God. You'll get married one day. And I remember hearing that. You'll get married. And I did. I got married. And I could remember people, you know, when you get married, you know, things shift. You just, you know, you won't do what you used to do. You won't carry a zeal. You won't carry a fire. You won't carry a passion. You know, can I tell you something? See, that's a form of rejection. It's not that people, you know, people can be looking at you and rejecting you, but ultimately what they're rejecting is Christ, the Christ in you. They're rejecting that which is inside of you, that which He placed inside of you. People do it out of ignorance. It's an unfortunate thing. People will do that out of ignorance. They don't understand. That's why you have to, so much here, that's why you have to know the voice of the Father. Know the Good Shepherd. Know the voice. Know that which is spoken. Because listen, I you know, Jesus, isn't he Joseph's son? Who does he think he is? You know, these are the things that you will ultimately in life have to learn to lay down. You know, and it's an unfortunate thing, because you can have friends, you can have family, you can have people that you genuinely, openly care about that will say things, and it's like, oh no, get behind me, Satan. Not that they're the devil. You guys understand what I'm... You know, I understand. No, get behind me, Satan. No. You don't understand my assignment. You don't understand the commission that's been given to me. Get behind me, Satan. And sometimes you might have to speak up a little loud. You know, when God called us, you know, and it's, you know, it's not the only stories we have about Hawaii, but very real about the calling. When He called us, we had to come back home. It would have been easier probably for us just to stay in Hawaii. Just buy stuff, live there. Hey, we're not coming home. We're just going to stay here. But we had to go home. And guess what? Jesus, when He went home, who is this guy? Who does He think He is? So when we went home, you know, it was like, hey, you know, it's like, you don't really need to go. Can't you stay here and work in the church? Can't you stay here and do this? Can't you stay here and do that? And, you know, all in good intentions, all meaningful. You know, I believe that. I believe that the heart of people were very genuine. We had great friends. You know, everything made sense at that point in our life other than this. Other than answering the call. Other than changing assignments. Because that's what we were getting ready to do. We knew because God spoke to us. And we were learning about how to hear the voice of God. And can I tell you that you can learn about how to hear the voice of God? We knew that there was a shift coming for several months, but couldn't explain what the shift was. But see, can I real practical. When you feel a shift coming, it's like that's when you begin to walk through open doors. That's when you look to create opportunities. You don't just sit and cruise, and you don't just sit and say, well, you know, I just hope God continues to open doors. He's opening them. Now you've got to walk through them. Amen? Now you've got to see that as an opportunity, and you walk through them. And you get around people that will give you good counsel. And can I tell you, it may not be your best friend. I'm going to tell everybody in here, you should be able to go to your pastor and get counsel. Amen? You should be able to go to your pastor and receive counsel. He shouldn't be the last person to know when you're making a major decision. You know why? Because He prays for you. I'm talking about myself. I'm talking about my wife. You guys, you guys with me? Because all this has to do, think about this. We're talking about making disciples. We're talking about being a disciple. And these are very practical things. But when God opens a door, Don't think that, you know, sometimes, you know, for us, it was a two-year process. We walked through the door that was opened, and then God spoke to us. And, you know, for me, that was kind of an idiot, to be honest with you. He had to give me some signs. I needed real clear signs. And, you know, when an atomic clock that runs off of a satellite sets itself to Hawaii times two times in a year, that's practically impossible. You wake up and you look, it's 5 a.m. Why is that set on Hawaii time? So even I needed a sign. You know, it was like what I was fleecing God. God, am I supposed to go back? I don't know. But then when I start seeing things like that, well, that's impossible. I'd take the clock apart and I would set it back. You know, and it's like, there's nothing to set. You know, I would go to set it back. There's nothing to set. It runs off of a satellite. I'd take it outside, and I'd set it in the sun. Think, you know, and then it would set back to East Coast time. And then I remember putting it on the wall, and some 3 months later, I wake up, and that clock is set to Hawaii time again. Now, how does that happen? Was the angel up there moving the sun? You know, no, you're in Hawaii. You're in Hawaii right now, Brad. I don't know. I don't know. But walk through those doors. You know, don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to talk to people. You know, second year we went. You know, the Lord basically was telling my wife, you're going to be held accountable for these people. I hadn't received that word. I was like, well, that's a tough word. You stay over there. I'm going to stay over here. I don't know what that means for us. I'm going to go back to West Virginia and live. I guess you're staying in Hawaii. I guess we'll have two different homes. That's how I felt about it. When she got that word that, you know, God was saying, you're going to be accountable for these people. You're going to be accountable for what's done here. I was like, I didn't hear that. I'm going to go over here and stand. Praise God. That's a mean word. That's, you know, I remember her showing it to me. I was like, ooh, that's tough. I was like, that's on you, girl. You know, and that's how I felt. Because I hadn't received that word. But then I received the word, no, you can go. It's possible. And that's all I needed to hear, because in the natural, it will never make sense. In the natural, it'll never make sense to move to West Virginia from Hawaii. In the natural. Why would you leave Hawaii? I mean, I've lived there. It's a paradise. It's, you know, there are things like in Hana that I can't even explain to people that I genuinely, truly love. Far beyond any, you know, I love sitting on the sands of Hamoa. I love walking around the corner. And there's places that I love diving and snorkeling that you just see things that I can't even, you know. So why would you leave that? Other than the fact that God's placed you and He's put you on a path to have an assignment, because He wants to show you something greater. So, it, you know, that He wants to position you to come higher. Amen? That's what God's doing. You hear this, you know, God, later. You know, when I received the word from the Lord prior to going, whether audible voice or whether by vision, or I don't believe it was a dream, it was one of two things, but I was pleading with the Lord, and I asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? How? What do you want me to do? And all I heard was preach my word. Of course, and that's 2 Timothy 4, you know, preach my word. And then, you know, and there was a requirement in receiving that word. Can I tell you what the requirement was? I needed to know His word. So what was that going? Please understand, if he's calling you into a higher purpose, as a pastor, as an evangelist, you know, a teacher, if He's calling you into a higher purpose, you're going to have to equip yourself. You're going to have to study the word. You're going to have to see the word. You're going to have to. The word's going to have to completely change your thinking. You know, because you have to have His word to be able to bring it forth to people. Amen. It's, you know, I don't go on Sermon Central and download my sermons. I'll study things, but you know how important it is that when Rand and I come in here, it's like, and I, you know, like, Pastor, this is not necessarily a fresh word. I, I, we strive to make sure what we preach and what we bring you, we're getting from God. That's why when we're talking about what it means to make disciples, what it means to have the Great Commission, it was because the Lord said, you know, talk with the people, talk with the congregation about how important it is to be a soul winner. What it means to be a disciple maker. What it means to be a disciple. And that seems very practical, right? Maybe even elementary. I'll say this about rejection. You know, one of the things, Luke 14:28, you got to count the cost. You know, in life, you have to count the cost. There's a cost. People think that the gospel doesn't cost them something. They're way off. You know, freely you receive salvation. But the first time you step out to tell somebody about Jesus, you'll find out very quickly. You know, people that, you know, I remember the first time somebody had posted a thought or a feeling that they had had about the Lord on, I think, Instagram. And people attacked them. And they're like, well, I just can't believe that would happen. No, it's going to happen. You know, I had somebody, you know, it's interesting. I had somebody, I was teaching on the tithe and offering, and Gracia ran a clip. We need to run some more, you know, because I was teaching a simple teaching about what it meant to be a giver. And somebody from another church says, that ain't right. Praise God, I got your attention. My God's a giver. My God's a giver, and He shows me in His Word that if I give, He would rebuke the devourer for my sake. Is that not a benefit in giving? Absolutely. So do I give? Do I sow money in hopes of God working on my behalf? Absolutely, 100%. And I hope He's watching today because there's a foolproof plan that we have in the Word of God. He is my protector. He protects my family. I give because I love God. Well, absolutely I give because I love God. Because my heart's not attached to money. But I give because of what it will do for me, what it will do for my family. The idea is not money. You know, and I heard somebody, I think it was Bishop Dagg, make the comment the other day, money's the easiest thing to give. And that's good. That was so good, so rich. Money's the easiest thing to give. What do you mean, Pastor? Be willing to give up yourself, your time. Be willing to say, hey, Pastor, you know, how do I run a life group? I'm glad you asked. These are the steps in becoming a leader. These are the steps in, you know, these are the steps in which you've got to do this, this, and this to be able to do that. Glad you asked. Well, I want to do that. Well, then, look, these are the steps. Do you want to do the steps? Well, I don't want to do the steps. Well, then you're not going to be a life group leader. I'm not mad. I'm not mad. You understand? I'm not mad about it. It's just these are the steps to becoming a leader. Because, guys, listen, when you get called up to a higher level, you're going to be held accountable at a higher level. And people fail to realize that. We're going to be accountable for what we're... These things that I'm talking about, you know, I hope I'm not scaring anybody today. I don't know if I want to be in ministry. You're accountable at a higher level. And I don't want you to stand before God and say, well, you know, Pastor wanted me to do this, but, you know, in secret I didn't do this. Or I didn't do that. Or I didn't behave this way. We're you guys trekking with me this morning? Rejection. Hey, listen, guys, if anybody is a Christian, and if you are willing to share your faith, somebody will come against that, okay? Don't be surprised. You know, maybe you've never heard that, and maybe you've never had a pastor tell you that. Don't be surprised that if you share your faith, that somebody's not going to have a problem with it. Well, which church do you go to? What do they preach there? Do you guys believe in tongues? Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I don't want to get into, but be able to give an account for why you believe what you believe. It's why we taught Revelation class. Why not have information from the Word of God and be able to explain to someone, no, this is really what's going on. And be able to give them I don't know what the Bible says. You know, the Bible says this, you know, it's about a dragon, a white horse and a red horse, and you know, and all these horses, we don't know. Jesus coming on a horse, well, you got to know the Word. Jesus not on that first horse, is he? It's the Antichrist. Anyway, you show yourself faithful in the little things. Amen? Listen, I believe everybody in this house can make a disciple. Everybody in this house. I mean, it's like when I sit here and say, you know, are you praying for your five? We're not adding people. Can I be very real? We're not bringing more people in or new people in. That's what the gospel's about. I'm praying for my five. I've reached out to my five. You know, guess what I got to do this week? I got to go actually to the physical house and see my five. So that's the next level, right? That's the next level. Guys, do you have people that need to be saved? If Jesus were coming next week, you know, next Thursday, how would you respond? How would you act? You know, that's the thing that's got to get set in our hearts, that, you know, man, this thing's ramping up, amen. So we tell, we talk, we teach. Praise God. Matthew 8:18. This is when Jesus saw the great multitude about him. He gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then another of his disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead." I made that comment one time out of my spirit. Someone said, "We're doing this and we're doing that," and I made that comment. You know, raising money for somebody that had passed away. I'm not a morbid person. But it grieved me. It grieved us, and I said, "Let the dead bury the dead." Why are you focusing your energy and time on this? Get people saved. Get people the truth of the Word of God. And that, you know, yeah, I had to actually, at that point when I made that statement, I was like, "Lord, was that me or was that from you?" And I was like, "No, that was from the Lord." And it wasn't even a mean statement at the point that in which it was said. But see, listen, if you're honestly willing to follow Jesus, and if you're truly, your heart is for the Father, you're going to find yourself honestly loving what he loves, doing what he did. Amen. You're going to love being a disciple maker. You know, people look at me and say, "Well, I don't like people." Then you're not called. You're probably not called to be a prophet. "I have a prophetic ministry, but I hate people." No, let me be honest with you. You're messing with stuff that's demonic. Some of this stuff is just flat out from hell. You know, the enemy will send people into your church on assignment to disrupt services, to disrupt everything. You know, the enemy will send people into this house to busy Moran and I around 125 different things. So we lose our focus. So we lose the direction in which God's called us and told us to operate in. You know, and I heard it this week. It's why churches remain small. Because, you know, it's because you'll get caught up in the busyness of just my job. And I, you know, and it was such a great, there were so many great words last week. My job's not to be in everybody's business. Miranda's job is not to be in everybody's business. Our job is to help. You know, if you need counsel, you know where you get counsel from? Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesday nights, a life group. That's where you get counsel from. Everybody we've counseled since for the most part, since we've been here, in any amount of time where we've done marriage counseling, they're all gone. Right? For the most part, I don't. What's that? No, we don't. Because, you know, because the Word is what will work. The Word of God will work in a person's life. And half the time, people know what to do. They just choose not to do it. They would rather stay where they're at. Or they would rather stay in that place of frustration. Well, I feel. Check your feelings at the door of your own house. Not just, I'm talking about church. Check your feelings at the door when you... I check my feelings when I go home some days. Because if I go home with an attitude about this or that, my wife goes, what are you doing? You know, I'm like, okay, you just need to go pray. I'm going to the garden, you know. Check your feelings. We all can complain, right? And do it very well. Lastly, I'm going to close out with this today. Be intentional. Being a disciple, making a disciple. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. So it was when the multitude pressed him, about to hear the word of God. Then he stood by the lake and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he had sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to them, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." Hallelujah. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And there was a net breaking. It was so big, it was net breaking. So they signaled their parents and the others to the boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both their boats until they both began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken in. And so they were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and they followed him. Listen, you've got to be intentional with the Lord. You've got to be intentional with people. You ever set yourself up to make sure you run into somebody? I do that. So it's like, why do I go to Walmart on a Wednesday night? I'm intentional about it. I'm intentional about going and believing that my friend is going to get saved. I'm intentional about that. You know, many Wednesday nights, I'll go to Walmart because he works every Wednesday. And he probably works every Sunday morning. He works every Sunday evening. It's just like what I said to you guys the other day. People think, you know, when someone gets saved, what happens? The boss calls them in to a special meeting, gives them a $12 raise. They're making $4 an hour. He gives them a $12 raise. I'm hypothetically speaking. He gives them a raise and says, "You know what? You're such a great employee, but you know what? This is what you're going to be the manager of this company, but you have to work Sundays. Here's this job. You're going to have to work Sundays." And what's the person say? Well, that must be the favor of God. That God certainly has blessed me with a better job, right? And, you know, look at what he did for me on Sundays. He's given me a job. Better pay. I'm going to be able to provide for my family. But what happens? The person's taken out of the house of God. Well, you know what happens on a Wednesday, right? Wednesday, you get double bonus pay. On Wednesdays, you get double bonus pay. And then Sunday, if you work Sunday evenings, we'll give you quadruple pay. That's exactly what happens. Guys, because anything the enemy can do to pull somebody out and away from the things of God or hearing the Word of God. Well, I'm going to do it because that's what I'm supposed to take care of my family. You know what? I'm going to say this. Every man has a responsibility to take care of their family by being in the house of God first. First. God will always provide the resources and the money, but every man's responsibility is to be in the house of God for his family. And you know, I can't be cheap on this anymore, can we? People need to hear this. They need to hear the truth. They need to hear the truth of the Word of God. God's calling men to a standard in this hour. There's men in this house. I'm thankful. But the days of excuses, man, we have to move away from all the excuses of why we can't serve God. Why we can't come into a greater relationship with Him. You've got to be intentional, amen? If you're not planning to be on church on Sunday, you won't be. If you're not planning to be there Sunday night, you won't be. If you're not planning to go pray with someone, you won't do it. If you're not intentional about looking at the five on your list, you won't do it. If you're not intentional about having a praise break through the day, you won't do it. Right? Oh, Pastor Brad, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes today. These things that I preach are the very things that I have to press in and do. Because we're going higher, amen? We're all going higher. God's taking us higher. But we have to be intentional. Nothing happens by accident. You've got to be deliberate. You've got to be deliberate in the things of God. You've got to say, no, I'm going to move here. I'm going to do this because this is what the Lord's at. You know, listen, it won't even be, because you can have the mind of Christ. You ever be driving down the road or you go home and someone, and you feel like, you know, I just need to go over there and do that for the neighbor. Can I be honest with you? It's a God conscience that you can walk in. You know, it's not, well, the Holy Spirit told me. I seen three rainbows today. I seen the Holy Cross four times. So I got to do this because the Lord's speaking. Be intentional, you know, in your own neighborhood. Be intentional when you go out. Expect to talk to people. Pastor, I'm backwards. We're all backwards. Get over it. We're all backwards in our own little way. But the Jesus that's in you wants to work through you. Amen? Be a disciple. Make a disciple. Be intentional. John 4, Jesus said he needed to go through Samaria. Why? I love this. He needed because, there was an assignment. He needed to go through Samaria. He got redirected by the Holy Ghost. Maybe I'll read that tonight, but he got directed by the Holy Ghost. He was to go and pray. You know, Samaria was not a place that, you know, Christians, Jesus would, you know, Samarians, yeah, they don't really like Jesus, right? But so he gets diverted by the Spirit to go to Samaria. So he goes, and he begins, who does he minister to? The lady at the well. And so he was intentional about listening to the voice of God. He was intentional. Listen, guys, if people are bringing you down, you can still love people from afar. If people pull you back, it doesn't mean that you don't love them. If people are draining you in any place, if they're draining you, recognize that. You can love them, but you know, it's, you know, these are things you learn over time, and I've been challenged on many fronts in these areas of my own life. People people will steal your joy. They'll steal your peace. They'll just, you ever just be excited, and then you get around that one person, and it's like, what just happened? The joy just got sucked out of you, or you don't feel peace anymore. It's like, man, I feel this turmoil. I feel this. You know, I'm saying this stuff because, listen, I want you guys to be able to understand that as you become a disciple maker, as you become a disciple, these are natural things that happen. People, like, you're like, what is that? That's not right. It doesn't mean that you don't love them. Doesn't mean you don't minister to them. But you know, you've got to remain in a place where you're going to be intentional with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. When you become intentional, I really believe this. When you become intentional with the Lord, that's where you'll begin to hear the voice of God. You'll begin to. And you ever just get on a Holy Ghost high in a roll? Where you just, everything you move into, you just, everything you touch, everything is just like, you see God all over it. The gift of faith come on you, and you're just like, no, I got, it's like this property, that's easy. You're like, what do you mean? That property is easy. It's easy to believe God for that. This building was easy. It's easy to believe God for that. It's easy to believe that way. You know, that's the faith that we've learned to walk at. And I'm going to tell you that even now, the faith that God has put in me and put in my wife, the faith that we have now is, you know, it's not, this isn't small. What God's asking us to do, what He's calling us to do. But, you know, this is the thing. God's requiring. He's going to require people to play their part. And it's not just us as pastors. I mean, I know that. We know that. We're not afraid to do, we'll do it all because we have done it all. And maybe that's why God had to, maybe that's why I worked in a church for 12 years and did all the things to be able to see that. Praise God. Let's go ahead and stand on our feet. Minister, if you would.